Universal. The Bubble Factory. The Bubble Factory presents. A garage door opens, slowly revealing an expensive luxury car. The screen splits into two to show another garage with the same car, then a third. All three cars come down separate drives onto the road of a wealthy suburban street and set off in convoy. Bad girls from Valley High. They drive out of the Hundred Pines estate. Julie Benz, Monica Keener, Nicole Bilderback and Jonathan Brandis. The cars pull up next to each other in a school car park. One door opens and a slim, attractive blonde girl in a leopard skin coat gets out. She's joined by two girls from the other cars, one wearing a shiny blue puffer jacket and tracksuit bottoms, the other in a smart black jacket and pink floral skirt. A huge red 4x4 pulls up in the same car park, driven by a young man with short brown hair. He watches with boredom as a small blue car pulls into a space in front of him. Then he rams into the back of the smaller car and shunts it forward onto the grass. The driver of the 4x4 gets out and approaches the dazed, bespectacled driver of the now dented blue car.
This section of the lot is for Huns only, Anima Head.
In the school corridor, a green banner reads, Dan Beaver's Pep Rally next Friday night. Beneath it, the students mill about, making way for the three girls who walk confidently past them and stop next to a locker where a student's morosely removing a picture of a happy couple. The blonde girl watches him and smiles.
Hey, Drew. Charity's old locker?
Yeah, Mr. Douglas said that a year was enough. I guess they're short on space.
He puts the photograph in his pocket. Then they all look round as a bright light floods the corridor and a door opens. A dark-haired girl wearing a long white floral summer skirt and carrying a couple of folders walks in. Everyone watches in awe as the beautiful young woman crosses the floor, smiling. Only the blonde girl is unimpressed and raises a single eyebrow.
I believe this is my locker.
Drew looks up at her.
Hi, I'm Katarina.
It's nice to meet you. It's very nice to meet you. This is yours, so that's okay.
I hope I didn't upset him. It's because you're in his late girlfriend's locker. Late? When will she be here?
No, she meant late, as in dead.
Hey, babe.
We broke up, remember?
Yeah, well, look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you a spoiled slant, I bitch. It was just, you know, it was in the heat of the moment. Come on, T, you know I still love you anyway, right?
Yo, G-Dog, what's up?
Get your dick mittens off me, Spoosh.
Okay.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Wart.
Don't you love a cool nickname for me, huh?
Hi, Jonathan.
Yo, Brooke.
Want to have lunch today?
Yeah, I'd love to. Is Danielle going to be there?
Later.
Hey, yeah, you bros or hoes, you don't need an exam note or a paper done, or you want to scratch and bite on my crib. I'm your homie. Hi. How you doing?
The girls walk into class.
Good morning, Mr. Chauncey.
Hello, Danielle, Tiffany, Brooke.
They take their seats together, Danielle next to Drew. Then Gavin, the owner of the 4x4, comes in, followed by Jonathan, pulling his school bag on wheels.
Hi, Drew.
Katarina walks in, and a light in the ceiling fizzes and blows. Everyone watches as she walks across the room and takes a seat at the front.
Before we get started, I want to introduce a new exchange student. Katrina Wolfson.
She turns round and smiles.
Settle down. Miss Wolfson, would you mind telling the class a little about where you're from?
Katerina stands up.
I grew up in Romania in a very small and poor town called San George. The population is 375, or just make it 374 because I am here.
Brooke looks at Danielle, who shakes her head.
Well, my mother told me, in America, if you study hard, be honest, and always do the right thing, everything will be fine. That's it.
She sits down again. Danielle looks worried, and Brooke lowers her eyes.
Thank you, Katrina. By the way, St. George is in the province of Transylvania, whose main export, other than the Dracula myth, is chocolate. My personal favorite is the cherry-filled chocolate crucifixes at Easter time.
Everyone turns to each other, confused, as Mr. Chauncey freezes, lost in thought.
Our next assignment will be The Merchant of Venice.
Oh. Yes!
Who?
I'm sure all of you.
Good morning, students. This is Principal Douglas. As you all know, it was 1 year ago today that one of our students, Charity Chase, passed away. For those of you still struggling with your grief, Dr. Turner will be offering crisis counseling in room 105 this period. Any interested student is hereby excused from class. Also, don't forget the big pep rally on Friday night.
Read the first two acts for Wednesday.
We should go. Why? Because it's going to look weird if we don't.
Okay. Oh, and will the party responsible for firebombing my car please report to my office immediately?
Danielle, Brooke, and Tiffany walk out so that everyone except for Drew and Katerina has gone. She goes and sits next to him, and for a moment, they're both a little embarrassed.
You're not gonna go with them?
I didn't know the girl.
Well, neither did the rest of them. Not really.
Please, if I'm not Brian, how did she die?
They say she committed suicide.
They? Not you?
Danielle, Brooke, and Tiffany walk to where everyone's queuing to see the counselor. Then Jonathan appears.
Hey, yo, my people! I'll slip you some cuts!
My idea of hell is being stuck in a room with that dork for 5 minutes.
How long is the MC wart persona going to last?
I give it to the end of the week.
What's with his multiple personalities?
It's because he doesn't have one.
They walk up to him.
Oh, Charity!
Remember, time heals all losses. Jack?
Oh, get over it.
So where's Drew? Probably in the classroom with the new girl.
They rush off, and Danielle throws open the class door, crushing Mr. Chauncey.
Where the hell are they?
I believe that's them out there.
They're standing by a bench next to a lake, and the girls watch as Katerina puts a hand on Drew's shoulder. The door swings back to reveal Mr. Chauncey in shock with pins stuck into his hand and one in the middle of his forehead.
I'm just going to the nurse's office.
He walks unsteadily out of the room. The girls' cars all pull into the drive of the Trinity Convalescent Home and park in three disabled spaces. They put disabled parking permits on their dashboards and get out. then limp away from their cars. Inside, they stroll down the corridor to where Drew's working.
Hey.
Hey. You guys are late.
Oh, like they're not going to be old anymore? Brooke had to get her lip waxed. It took longer than we thought. So, how you holding up?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Must have been weird, it being the one-year anniversary and all.
Yeah, I have to admit it was pretty hard, but,
If you need anything, I'm here for you. So, better get to my stroke victim. Don't want Mrs. White to think I flaked on her.
Can we please have an orderly to room 103 for body removal?
Wow. Do you have to get special training for that?
For what?
To run bullshit so effortlessly?
It's a gift. So does he seem a little down to you?
Hello, dead girlfriend.
Oh, hey, girls. Hi, Danielle.
I'm on bathing detail today. Yeah. Hey, see you in the break room.
Not.
Oh, God, I hate the way this place smells. Why did Drew have to pick old people as this community service project?
Then why are we here again?
Because you're helping me get what I want. And when I get what I want, I'm happy. And when I'm happy, I'm not a bitch.
They go into separate rooms. Danielle takes off her coat.
Hello. I'm John.
Surf's up, Winnie.
I'd like to introduce you to Gary.
She goes over to an old lady who's lying in bed, staring blankly up at the ceiling. She waves her hand in front of her face, and when the woman doesn't react, Danielle watches the TV.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Good to see you. I have to tell you, this is the most beautiful vegetable.
She flips over to a music channel and the woman's bed starts shaking, although her expression doesn't change. Danielle leans over her.
Did I wake you? What happened to Mrs. What's-her-name? Did she get bored with your company and leave? So, what do you want to do today? Take a nap? Works for me.
She whips the pillow out and lies down on the adjacent bed.
That's better.
A flashback shows a giant waterfall plummeting down into a natural gorge. Next to it is an empty car park. A small car pulls into it, and a blonde girl gets out. She has a note with her that reads, "Charity, meet me at the Bluffs, 10 p.m. Drew."
Sorry, Charity. He's not coming.
What are you doing here?
You've got to learn that only Huns date guys from 100 Pines. Especially Drew. He's mine. Tie your hands.
You people are not well!
Poor little Charity. Looking for something?
Danielle sticks a plunger over her mouth.
Ever see one of those women in prison movies?
And the others cover her head.
Isn't it a little late for that?
Maybe we're going a little too far with this.
She gets free.
Jesus, where is she going?
Wrong way! Watch out for the fence!
And falls into the gorge.
Just a minute! What?
I have to tell you something. I was just down at the front desk and I overheard Drew talking to Katarina.
Oh, God, I can't believe this. Last year it was Charity Chase with her sad little eyes and her dish mop hair. I mean, we take care of that problem and... What? If she were any stiffer, she'd be in the petrified forest. Look.
She pokes the old lady, then leans down to her ear.
By the by, the three of us stole my father's car when we were 14. At the age of 16, we gave Brooke's next-door neighbor's dog ecstasy. And, as you already know... At the ripe old age of 17, there was that little Charity Chase debacle.
Brooke's horrified.
Look, don't you think if she were going to blow the whistle on this, she would have done it ages ago? Stop worrying. By the by, if I ever get pickle tits like hers, just shoot me, okay?
My dad has a gun.
Tiffany comes in.
She's still pissed about Drew and Katarina?
Aren't you supposed to be with Mrs. Fabrizio?
You know that stupid machine that she's hooked up to?
The heart monitor?
Yeah, well, it started whining, and it was totally annoying, so I unplugged it. And then the doctors came in, and they said that I should take a little break.
How could Drew resist? Killer curves, flawless skin, perfect teeth. What more could you ask for?
Cherry truffle?
What?
It's Monday. Chocolates from Mrs. Witt's closet.
They play drafts with the truffles.
King me.
Queen me.
Eat me.
Oh, five's enough.
Brooke gets up from the bed and miserably opens a health bar, which she eats with great distaste. Later, and the truffles have nearly gone, but Tiffany reaches for another.
Whitney Houston's husband. What's his name?
He is so over.
Totally.
Tattoos?
Cool.
In the right places.
Cargo pants. Oh, stupid. Unless you're from Wisconsin and need the extra pockets for bricks and cheese.
Two-parent household.
Highly overrated if you're talking about mine. Nipple rings.
They all fall asleep on the bed, the empty tin of chocolates on the floor beside them. On the next bed, the old woman's hand reaches for the remote and presses a button. The hand retracts again. Food's dumped onto Tiffany's plate in the canteen, and Jonathan dances into her place, with Danielle behind him.
I like the annoying music.
It's disco day, don't you love it?
I'd rather wax my armpits.
They go, and Brooke dances past. Jonathan's carrying two trays when Gavin grabs him.
Hey, geek, give me $2.
You do want to pass a trick this year, right?
You want to live through lunch?
Hey, babe.
Hi, babe. How's it going, Jonathan?
Fine, thanks.
Jonathan gives Gavin some money. Then he drops him on the floor. The girls step over him. Then Danielle sees Drew sitting on his own. She clicks her fingers, and Jonathan eagerly follows her to Drew's table with the trays.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Drew.
Okay, this is where you make, like, sweat evaporate.
Hi, Drew.
So, what do I owe this honor?
I just thought you might want some company. Drew, I'm sorry about all that stuff with Charity. You know, with me being a bitch and all to her.
You were a bitch to Charity?
Well, not really a bitch. Yeah, just some heated words in gym class. She seems sweet, even if she wasn't a hun.
How is it with you guys and this Hun's crap? 100 Pines is a high-end housing project. There's not even any pines there anymore. The beavers ate the pines. It should be called 100 Stumps.
Hey, Katerina, what's up?
Hi.
My name is Gavin Burke. I'm a fullback and captain of the football team. Drew, he used to be the captain, but then he got all sensitive and shit. Now he thinks that jocks are just a bunch of, you know, thick-necked Neanderthals, but...
Katerina suddenly sees Gavin dressed in fur skins as a caveman with a club.
Anyway, I'm a solid C-plus student, you know, and I have serious belt in Taekwondo. And I know 8 ways to kill a man, so, you know, maybe sometime me and you can get together and I can show you some of mine.
She kicks him in the face.
Oh my God, are you okay? I took very, very few lessons in my homeland.
Danielle undoes a shirt button.
So, Drew, I'm having my 18th birthday. The costume party. Totally gonna rage. I'd love for you to come. I'm going as a Victoria's Secret model.
I don't, maybe.
Drew!
Katerina.
Hi.
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 You don't have to leave.
Yeah, I do. I'll just be over in the hun section sucking the nuts out of my dessert.
She limps away to join Tiffany and Brooke, seemingly in quite a lot of pain.
What's with the lamp?
I must have pulled a muscle. Gotta remember to stretch after my workouts.
What's up with Brooke?
She's been that way for a good 20 minutes.
What?
Oh, God, I am so tired. I almost fell asleep in Mrs. Putman's class.
I did.
Gavin slaps Jonathan on the back, who slams Gavin's head into his tray.
You know, maybe it's time we had a little talk with Gatherina.
Like the one we had at the Gorge with Charity Chase?
Something like that.
Maybe we should try a different approach.
And that would be?
Well, my mom says that bad medicine goes down easier when you sugarcoat it.
Point being?
Well, I don't know, maybe we should take her shopping with us tomorrow. Break it to her gently, you know, try to talk to her as friends trying to do what's best for her.
You're such a retard.
No, I like that. It's like we keep our friends close, but our enemies closer.
In the mall.
Is that a map of Asia? Oh, it's some weird freckle outbreak. I noticed it this morning.
Okay, where the hell is Heidi?
Hi. Sorry I'm late, but I'm still getting used to your streets. Well, I'm really excited about going window shopping with my new American friends.
Window shopping? What's that? You should get it.
It's too much money, and I'm on a very, very small budget.
Budgets are for poor people.
They walk away from the handbag, but Danielle grabs it, then takes the purse out of Katerina's hand, pulls out the credit card, and goes to the till. Katerina watches unhappily as Danielle hands both their cards over and the cashier types in $435 and swipes one. Then Danielle shows her the receipt. Next, Katerina tries on some lovely lingerie, but the girls give it the thumbs down. When she comes out wearing a frumpy nightie, they all smile and give her the thumbs up. Katerina and Danielle spend more money. Then Katerina's enthusiastically leading them around the shop. She takes a big pile of clothes to the till for herself, and Danielle watches in amazement as they total up to almost $1,000. The girls are dragged across the shop floor by Katerina, Brooke lugging the bags along behind them.
I wonder what the hell the stupid limit on our credit card is. Anyway, I think it's time we put the poor girl out of her misery.
And what about ours?
Yeah, you should talk. I'm the one doing all the work.
Mr. Chauncey is reading a book and looks up as he overhears their conversation. The next shop.
Hi, welcome to the store. I'm Kristen. If you need anything at all, don't hesitate to ask.
You can help carry some of these stupid bags.
Hi, welcome to the store. I'm Kristen.
Katerina picks up more clothes while the others follow along behind her. Danielle, Tiffany and Brooke collapse on a sofa in the shop.
Oh, my dogs are beat. I think I've lost all circulation in my hands.
Okay, this isn't fun anymore.
Well, you're gonna tell her in a nice way, right? I mean, we've spent all day with her and she's actually kind of okay.
What the hell is wrong with you? You are a Hun. She will never be anything more than a sheep farmer from Romania. But she has to be made to understand that we Huns have rules and boundaries, and that certain things are off limits to peasants like her. Like, for instance,
the Huns coming out ball.
Mr. Chauncey is listening.
The Huns invitational. The Huns cafeteria section.
My birthday party and
Drew.
Katerina's standing next to them.
Yes. True.
So is my lesson over?
Yeah, it's over.
I just realized you must have my card.
Danielle takes out her purse and gets the credit card from it. It is Katerina's, and she looks at her in surprise. They swap.
Thank you for a lovely day.
Danielle stands up, and Mr. Chauncey backs nervously into a changing room. He turns round and sees he's walked in on a woman, who throws him back out through the door. The girls don't notice.
How the hell did she pull off that switch?
Maybe she knows Siegfried and Roy. They're German, aren't they?
Do you need socks or a belt with this?
It's underwear, bitch.
In the car park.
Okay, how in the hell do you lose a car?
Well, maybe Katarina made it disappear like she did your credit card.
Ha ha, you're so funny, you funny girl. Look, just find the damn car, okay? I gotta pee again.
Wait, isn't that it right there? No, I think... Wait. Oh no, this is it, I'm sure of it.
The key doesn't work, and when Tiffany tries to turn it, it snaps off in the lock. A bruised Mr. Chauncey is also in the car park.
Where the hell is my car?
He stops and looks around, confused.
Did I even drive here?
The barrier comes down on his head. At school, the students are playing volleyball in the gym. Brooke misses a shot, and on the other team, Drew congratulates Katarina on the point.
Yes!
So much for your little talk.
It's just a stupid gym class.
Danielle nods at Tiffany, who's on Drew's team, and nods back knowingly.
Yes.
The ball comes to Katarina, and Tiffany quickly kneels down behind her, so she trips over.
What? I'm over here.
All right, guys, back in the game.
Mr. Chauncey is hiding under the seats at the side of the gym, secretly filming the game. He zooms in on Brooke. She dives for the ball and hits the floor.
Sorry, it's all the fiber bars that I've been eating.
Brooke gets up and runs out of the gym.
All right, everybody, practice is over. Guys, put your balls away.
Mr. Chauncey videos the students leaving, but then the coach picks up a control, presses a button, and the spectator seats start folding away.
Bunch of boneheads.
A single lens cap rolls out from under the seats. In the changing room.
What's this say? Did I make the team or not? Maybe you should have your eyes checked.
Yeah, is my name on there or not?
Not.
But Gavin and I have been working all my sweat.
Brooke opens her locker and finds a picture of Charity with the message, "Do the right thing," underneath it, in letters cut out of a magazine. Danielle finds some of her hair has turned white.
Oh my God.
She looks in the mirror, and Katarina's standing behind her. Danielle ducks down and bunches up her hair, and when she stands up again, Katarina's gone. She rips the towel off a girl who's walking past and wraps it around her head, then runs out of the school and sees Katarina getting into Drew's car.
Hey, gorgeous. What's with the towel?
Back off, Wart. Your breath is in my airspace. So, what was that all about?
Well, apparently I've been replaced too. I was supposed to do a French paper for Drew, but now I decided to let Katarina tutor him.
Where were they going?
It'd have to be her place. Drew's house is tended. Silverfish, I think.
Girl just doesn't listen, does she?
There you go, dear. Good as new.
The nurse has bandaged up a student's hand. Danielle's standing outside, wearing a hat, and once the student's left, she dials on her phone.
Nurse's office? Yes. Shock class? Oh, my goodness. A metal rod? Whatever you do, don't pull it out.
The nurse runs out and Danielle goes in. She walks up to a filing cabinet and opens the top drawer. She flicks through the files and pulls out Katerina's, then copies her address down on a piece of paper. 731 Maple. Suddenly, blood drips onto the file, and when Danielle looks up, Mr. Chauncey's there, bleeding from the head. She slams the drawer shut on his fingers and runs out. Danielle's driving down a street at night.
Maple. 725, 727, 729.
She pulls the car up by the side of the road and gets out in the rain. Danielle walks slowly towards a plaque on the wall with 731 engraved on it, looking slightly afraid. Above the wall is an iron railing with dying plants entwined around it, and behind the iron railing is a cemetery. Daytime, and some students run round a track while more get ready to start. Danielle and Tiffany are staggering round when Brooke joins them.
What's with you? You look like you've seen a ghost.
I may have.
Come again?
Last night I tried to find Katerina's house.
And?
You're so funny.
Her address is the cemetery where Charity is buried.
It must have been a mistake. Are you sure you had the right number?
It was no mistake. 731 Maple. Can I ask you guys something?
Sure.
Has anything strange or weird happened to either of you since Katerina's come to Valley Gorge?
No. Do you? Why?
Nothing.
Hurdle?
What?
Where did that come from?
Keep going.
Okay.
All right.
Katerina and Drew are running backwards together.
I can't compete with that. She's like Xena. I think we need to go to Plan B.
What's that?
I don't know. Never needed a Plan B before. All I know is she is ruining everything. My birthday is in less than 2 weeks, and I am no closer to getting Drew than I was last semester. We have to somehow destroy this bitch.
How are we gonna do that?
I think I have an idea.
She runs her hand through her hair, and a large clump of it comes out, horrifying her. Jonathan finishes his race last and staggers up to another student.
Yo, assalamu alaikum, my brown brother.
The student slaps him and he falls to the ground. A wall that's lined with framed portrait photographs of smiling people, the last one of which is Charity. Tiffany opens the door and walks in.
Mr. Chauncey?
She carries on into the room. There are trolleys of equipment and television screens that show her live on film.
Mr. Chauncey.
She looks around as she keeps walking.
Anyone here?
At the end, she sees one of the screens that now has a close-up of her and looks at it in horror. She turns round and sees Mr. Chauncey.
Oh, God!
She stumbles against the trolley and a TV falls on his foot.
Yes, Tiffany. What can I do for you?
I wanted to check out one of those digital whatchamacallits with the little Zoom thingy on it.
Yes, I take it. You want a camera with a telephoto lens.
Yeah.
What are you planning to shoot?
Wildlife. You know, little squirrels and birds, dogs.
This is new digital. It's 1.5 megapixel, 5x zoom with memory stick and file wire output. Perfect for long range photography. I think you'll appreciate the size of this one.
She watches in disgust as he slowly extends the zoom lens.
Fill this out. Name and date. when you're planning to return it.
Tiffany fills in the form, and Mr. Chauncey looks at her intently.
Tiffany, may I ask you something, if it's not too personal?
Sure.
Just as a concerned teacher and a friend, I was just wondering how you girls are holding up in the wake of Charity's sewer flood.
We really miss her.
Oh, foolish question. Of course you miss her. It must be difficult when you don't see it coming. I certainly didn't.
Oh, me neither, I guess.
Well, enjoy.
He gives her the camera and watches as she hurries out. As soon as she's gone, he hits rewind on a VCR, then plays footage of her face whilst he was talking to her.
In the wake of Charity's suicide. Guilty.
He freezes the film and stares at it as he pulls out a pile of papers that were tucked under his arm. They're photographs of Charity and Drew next to the gorge.
Charity.
He looks through them, turning to the screen occasionally, then suddenly comes across pictures of Danielle, Tiffany and Brooke looking down on Drew and Charity. The pictures merge into the real girls, who are standing on the bridge over the waterfall. Tiffany raises the camera and photographs a couple on a bench in the same car park next to the gorge, kissing. It's Drew and Katerina.
Oh, Jesus, he kissed her. That should be me he's kissing.
Danielle sits down and Brooke joins her.
She spends a lot of time down there, just like Charity used to.
Danielle's hand shakes as she takes something from her bag.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just cold and hungry.
Me too.
Hey, aren't you on a diet?
Lately I haven't needed one.
Danielle bites into a cookie.
Whoa!
And spits out a tooth.
Oh my God, please tell me that's not a tooth.
Can you believe the stuff they put in candy? I am totally suing this company.
Tiffany's still watching through the camera.
All right, already. She loves you. You love her. Just get out of my shot. Thank you.
Drew gets up and walks away from Katerina, who looks upset. She stands up and starts stretching.
Here's the money shot.
Katerina looks up and sees her, and Tiffany drops the camera. The girls are at a computer.
Okay, so what we need is to download something that's totally disgusting, perverted, and embarrassing to Katerina's head on.
Ew. Gross.
They all angle their heads to the side to look.
Well, doesn't the fur get in the way?
Okay, let's just rule out animals completely. Stop, back up.
She's a dominatrix.
It's perfect. Everyone looks disgusting in latex.
Do you think it'll be enough?
Come on, would you want to be with Katerina knowing she put baby powder on that guy's ass? So we'll switch faces and post it on the school's website tomorrow morning. Every guy at Valley Gorge High is gonna see it. I want to be there when the first guy comes up to her and asks her for a spanking and a diaper change. She'll be so embarrassed, I'm betting she'll be on the next bus back to Romania.
You know what, I don't like this. It's dirty and underhanded, and it's just cruel.
And your point being?
Well, what if we tried talking to Katerina again? I mean, maybe this time she'd listen.
You are so linear.
In the picture, her head's a ball of light.
Okay, where the hell is her head?
I don't know.
Well, can't you upload, upgrade, surf the wave or something? And come on, you're the computer geek. Fix it.
I can't fix what isn't there. I mean, look, you can see Drew fine. This is really creepy. I mean, what is this girl, the undead?
Damn it, T. You must have had your stupid finger in front of the lens.
Oh, you mean this one?
I gotta pee again.
What is that, like 5 times in an hour?
Hey, I don't keep track of how many times you fart in an hour. I gotta go.
At a supermarket, Danielle's pushing along a trolley full of shopping. She pulls down her hat a little as she passes an assistant and heads along one of the wide aisles. At the checkout, she places down her various items, including a packet of super-absorbent, jumbo-sized undergarments. Gavin's at the till and smiles when he sees Danielle.
Hey, Danielle.
Gavin! What are you doing here?
I'm helping out my old man. He owns the place, remember? What's with the diapers?
I'm buying them for my great-grandmother. She's visiting us from Montana.
Oh, really? Where in Montana?
Des Moines.
Yeah, I've been there.
Having problems scanning the undergarments, Gavin picks up a phone.
I need a price check on the Econo pack of jumbo relievers. Pine scented. So, Danielle. What do you think about maybe me and you going out sometime?
What do you mean, like on a date?
Sure, why not? No. Anyway, I kind of dig a more mature woman.
What are you trying to say? I look old?
Oh, no, well, you know, I mean, lately, looks like maybe you've clocked on a few more miles. But don't get me wrong. That's a turn on.
What do you think Tiffany's reaction is going to be to all this?
Oh, see, T and I, we have this understanding. I don't tell her anything, and she doesn't know anything. You understand?
I guess.
3 young women arrive behind Danielle as Gavin picks up the phone again.
Hey, Todd, I really need a price check on those adult diapers ASAP.
Oh,
hey, girls. What's up?
Danielle's eyes rise upwards and she sighs out heavily with relief. She and Gavin both look down at the floor.
Stupid perfume bottle is leaking?
Oh, that's no problem. I'll clean it up.
No, Gavin!
Danielle grabs the undergarments and flees as Gavin dabs some of the liquid from the floor behind his ears. Later, lightning flashes dramatically over a house as Danielle sits watching an old black and white horror movie. As the on-screen heroine is stalked by a ghost, Danielle picks up her phone. Brooke's sitting at a computer, looking through dated pictures of a young girl. She seems sad as she stares at the youngster, who's clutching a doll.
Did I wake you?
No, I had to get out of bed to answer the phone anyway.
Good. Because I've been thinking. There's something about Katerina that's not quite right.
What are you talking about?
Like when the light flickered the first time she came into Mr. Chauncey's class?
And the way her image wasn't on the film?
And she has Charity's old locker?
And she's always at Valley Gorge Park, just like Charity.
And her address is the cemetery.
So what you're saying is she's...
Charity's ghost.
Danielle, do you realize how insane that sounds?
Look, we caused her death and wrote the suicide note. Now she's come back to get us, and we can either do something about it or let her destroy all of us.
You're starting to creep me out.
Danielle spotted 2 monstrous moles on the side of her neck, each of them with coarse black hair sticking out. Wearing a bandage on his head, Mr. Chauncey's behind his desk in the classroom, trying to turn the page of a book with his injured finger. He pauses when he hears the sound approaching. It's Danielle, Brooke and Tiffany. They shuffle into the room and remove their sunglasses.
You girls okay?
Yeah. Why wouldn't we be?
You look a little pale. Well, except for Tiffany.
Little mishap with the self-tanning oil.
You're all so early. That hasn't happened in 4 years.
People change.
No, they don't. So, what can I do for you girls?
The real reason we came in was, we were, wondering, what would cause only part of a picture to photograph?
Yeah, like a body with no head?
Could be a number of things. Sun flare, defective chip, dropping the camera. Ghosting.
Ghosting?
It's just a photo term. Oh. I didn't realize you had such a connection with charity.
Charity? How so?
Love of photography. She was the president of the AV Club.
We knew that.
Mr. Chauncey gets to his feet using his crutches as the rest of the class begin to file in.
Settle down. Act four, scene one.
We do pray for mercy. And that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy. These are words spoken by the character Portia. She was a bored, wealthy young woman who, to amuse herself, created devious and sometimes sadistic little games. Until one day, the game backfired and she found herself in the rather painful position of having to plead for a friend's life. I think we can all relate to this character because we have done things in our lives that may have caused another great pain.
Drew's looking at Katerina and enjoying a daydream. In a bed of red satin sheets, he and she are lying together. They stare lovingly into each other's eyes before kissing. In the classroom, Drew smiles at the thought. Danielle, meanwhile, is staring at him and having a daydream of her own. This time, she's the one sharing the red satin sheets with Drew. They lie staring at each other, but just as they're about to kiss, Katerina appears from beneath the sheets and Danielle kisses her instead.
Shit!
The class stare at her.
What?
Now it's night time, and Katerina's jogging along a park road. Danielle and co. watch her from a parked car.
Okay, let's go. Put it in gear.
And close the sunroof.
Passing a sign that reads Valley Gorge Park, Katerina jogs on, while behind her, Tiffany brings the car to a stop next to a tree. The tree so close to the passenger door that Danielle can't get out.
Great.
She climbs out the other side.
When the hell did you get glasses?
Well, they're my mom's, but for some reason they seem to help.
Now, you should have put them on before you parked.
By the way, your blinker's been on for the last 3 miles.
The girls are jogging after Katerina.
My hips are killing me. Oh, I have to rest. My asthma's acting up. Since when do you have asthma? I'm finished. You go on without me.
Come on, get off your asses, you wimps!
Up ahead of them, Katerina's paused to flex her leg muscles. She's standing by the railing that lines the edge of the gorge, looking down on the waterfall flowing from a vent. K Katerina sees the approach of Danielle and her friends, who are all wearing ski masks. The girls stop to sit down on a bench, gasping for breath.
You know, I've never actually talked to a real ghost.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you, Katerina / Charity Chase.
I'm confused.
We all are. They won't be after tonight. Now, to prove my point, I just need you to walk through that lamppost over there.
How would I do that?
I don't know. You're the ghost. Like, it's either that or I cut you open to see if you bleed.
Are you for real?
You know, something's been bugging me. You could come back as anyone you want. Why would you come back as pathetically poor and low class as you were?
The reed is a flower whose virtue has not been discovered. Maybe I'm many things, but I can assure you, I am not Charity's ghost.
Katerina runs off again and is soon lost from sight in the haze of a lamppost. The girls all gasp. A photograph of Charity in a yearbook.
Believe me now?
Oh, that's creepy.
Convinced? Katerina's not mortal. It makes sense, doesn't it? The 1-year anniversary of Charity Chase's death, and a new girl arrives. Out of the blue, from a faraway country, at the ends of the earth.
Since when is Romania at the ends of the earth?
You mean it isn't? So obvious. It's just like I Know What You Did Last Summer, Part 2. And they always come back to the place where they died.
Swallowing some pills, Danielle disappears into the bathroom.
Why did she come back?
To avenge her death?
What is she gonna do to us?
She's already done it to us.
What?
Oh, you're gonna stand there and continue to tell me that nothing strange or unusual has happened to either of you? No aches, no pains, no leakage, no drainage? I mean, look at yourselves! Okay, fine. I'm getting a six-pack and heading to the pep rally. You coming?
Let's give a warm Beaver welcome to the Valley Gorge High football team and the Valley Gorge High pep squad as they lead us to victory over Central High!
Tiffany's crying.
And then the optometrist said that I didn't have enough eyelid to cover a contact lens that thick.
Remember when I farted in gym class and I said it was because of all the fiber bars?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was. But it wasn't.
Oh, my ass has dropped a full 6 inches.
Hell, all of me's dropped a full 6 inches. I feel like with every minute I grow a year older. I've been wearing adult diapers for 2 weeks!
The girls all adjust their inflatable cushions.
B-A-B-E-R-S! Beaver! Beaver! We're the best damn beavers!
Are we gonna die?
I'm too young to die.
You? I have to turn 18 in 2 days. I look older than Madonna, so shut up already.
This is all your fault. But you got us into this, no, you get us out.
It's not that easy, okay? You can't kill a ghost. They're already dead. Now listen. I have watched these movies 1,000 times, and there is only one way to get a ghost like Katerina back into the grave.
How?
You lure her back into the hole with the one person she can't rest without.
So, we have to kill Drew so he can be with Charity / Katerina for eternity.
Wait. Who are we going to kill?
Later, the girls are in a hot tub.
You know what's weird? I've been having hot flashes and cold spells, and my period practically non-existent.
Oh my God, Danny, that sounds like... Wait, what's the word?
menopause. Oh,
Jesus. Not even 18 yet.
Katarina screwed us good. I mean, I almost wish she'd just get it over with and put us out of our misery.
Oh, me too. Quit whining, girls. They'll all be over after tomorrow night. The curse will be reversed, and we'll be beautiful again.
Oh.
Faint.
Oh, I gotta get out.
Oh. Tiffany stands, then looks down, horrified by what she sees. Brooke and Danielle both do the same. Two people dressed as police officers approach the house and knock on the front door. Danielle answers, looking ancient.
Good evening, ma'am.
Hey, Nicole.
Oh, my God! Is that you, Jeff? Oh, my God! Did you make up? It's so real! Oh, my God! It's fabulous!
Yeah, fabulous.
Happy 18!
Nicole leads her date into the house, which is heaving with other party guests, also in fancy dress. Gavin's on stage with a rock band.
Hey, it's not a toy.
Ah, screw you, Granny.
God. I can't wait for tonight to be over.
What?
Never mind.
I got a drill to my head, got a monkey in my bag, got some weapons in my hand, gotta go work on my tan. I got eggs over easy, a bacon in the pan. I got bread in my toaster and more weapons in my hand.
I thought Gavin was gonna learn more songs.
Didn't he?
No, he didn't. He's been playing the same song for like an hour.
We're all rotting from the inside out. Yeah, we're all dying, but isn't that what life's about? Yeah!
A DJ gestures to Gavin to stop.
Yeah! Oh, all right. Seriously, though, we're going to take a little break. Yeah. And then we're going to come back in 20 minutes and do another song for you.
He looks crestfallen. Gavin and Jonathan join Danielle, Brooke and Tiffany.
Hey, ladies.
Gavin kisses Tiffany, leaving her breathless.
Come on, what's this?
I don't know.
Hey, you want a groove?
Get real.
How about you?
Finally.
Hey, y'all acting like a bunch of old ladies for real.
With Danielle left on her own, a clown comes in and sits next to her.
What the hell are you looking at, bozo?
Gavin and Jonathan lead Tiffany and Brooke onto the dance floor. Almost immediately, Brooke puts her back out and has to leave. Looking breathless, Tiffany collapses on the floor. Danielle's making her way through the party guests. She spots Katarina wearing a simple white jumper and uses her walking stick to push people out of the way in order to get to her.
No!
Looking for
Danielle spits.
Someone? Danielle? Costumes? Duh!
I was actually looking for Drew. He sent me this and said it was very important that he would see me tonight.
Oh my.
Brooke shuffles up to the unconscious Tiffany with the oxygen mask. In the kitchen.
So where is he? He was here. He was very upset. Said something about him being so rich and you being, well, so poor. And how it would probably never work out. No, he said it was just like charity happening all over again. He used a lot of buzzwords. Dying, eternity, yeah, stuff like that.
Did he say where he was going?
Well, he said he was going home to get a jacket warm enough for the gorge. After that...
Oh, my God, I must find him.
How
Have a hit of chamomile. Very soothing.
To Brooke and Tiffany.
We're on. I'll drive.
The waterfall at the gorge. Danielle and her two friends have arrived nearby. They all look quite elderly now and wear colourful hooded capes.
Do you have the note?
Yeah. It says all the usual stuff. Disappointment in love, indifference to life, battle with herpes. I even threw in the guilt he still feels over Charity's tragic suicide. And the party may or may not have played in it.
Charity killed herself?
Duh.
Brooke turns and looks behind her.
I see they finally fixed the fence.
Let's just get this over with.
Katarina!
Drew appears up ahead.
I think our human sacrifice has arrived.
Katarina!
Drew spots the three girls.
Danielle! Thought you were gonna go as a Victoria's Secret model.
Changing plans.
Where's Katarina?
Oh, I'd say about now she's probably at your house discovering you're not home. Then she'll most likely come here to prevent you from committing suicide. You're very distraught, you know. Well, at least that's what her note said.
You bitch. Holy shit.
A gun.
Is that loaded?
Yep, it's loaded. Now, you'll just climb that fence and jump to your death. You'll be saving us all a lot of time and energy, which God knows the three of us are very short on.
I don't have the right shoes for climbing.
Over the fence.
At gunpoint, Drew walks towards the fence.
Why are you doing this?
You really want to know? Because you and me were meant to be together and you were just too blind to see. I mean, Jesus, all you had to do was ask me out again and none of this would have ever happened.
I'm free next weekend.
Too late.
She kisses him.
God, hello? Mouthwash?
Now don't.
Now look, if you really cared about me, then why would you want to kill me?
Because I would sacrifice anything to be beautiful again. Even you.
You're nuts.
Drew!
Katarina! Run! I mean, away. Run away.
What is going on here?
Nothing.
So you mean you weren't just kissing her?
Katarina, it's not what it looks like.
I suppose she had a gun to your head.
The clown is running towards the scene. Passing a woman who's walking her dogs, the clown sat upon by one of them. He kicks it away.
Why don't you float over here next to your boyfriend?
Katarina stands next to Drew.
What is going on here?
This is what's going on.
Jesus. You're the ghost of Charity Chase. Come back to exact revenge.
Oh, not that again.
What about Charity's quote?
Drew showed me that quote in his yearbook. It's Emerson. Everybody knows that.
Okay. You live in a cemetery.
What are you talking about?
I went there. 731 Maple.
North or south?
Screw this. You, quit avoiding the inevitable, climb the fence, and join Charity, who wasn't even a Hun.
And who we killed.
You killed Charity?
I mean, sort of all did.
Danielle cocks the gun.
Could you climb the fence now?
Danielle, don't! This is crazy!
Move!
I would have given anything to be a Hun.
Jesus Christ, you are a Hun.
No, I'm not. In reality, I'm no different from Katerina or Charity. My family lived in a trailer park and ate mayonnaise sandwiches 3 times a day.
How'd you end up in 100 Pines?
Tri-State Lottery, 56 mil after taxes.
That's great. Now move so I can kill Drew.
Seeing the clown appearing over a rise, Daniel shoots him. Drew makes a grab for the gun. Danielle keeps firing as he struggles with her arm. A bullet hits the top of the fence and ricochets, injuring Katerina's wrist and hitting the clown again. The screaming Tiffany faints as Drew, having got hold of the gun, rushes to Katerina and examines her wrist.
Blood? Ghosts don't bleed. But apparently dirt poor exchange students from Romania do. Was it possible I had been wrong? That driven by obsession and overactive imagination and blind jealousy, I had made a mistake about Katerina? And if she didn't do this to us, then who did?
Danielle collapses. Later, the police have arrived.
How's that again, ma'am?
It's Romania. R-O-M-A-N-I-A.
Drew approaches the clown, who's lying on an ambulance gurney.
Surprise?
Mr. Chauncey. Why?
I've been watching Daniel and the others. I knew they knew something about Charity's death. I just didn't know to what extent. I did this for Charity to clear her good name. I love Charity. Like a daughter, not in a dirty sort of way. Did you know she was the best baby president I ever had? And you know, she didn't just do it to get out of PE or study hall. She did it because, damn it, she loves her job! I waited. I kept hoping Daniel and the others would slip up, and they did. And now, I'm gushing blood all over my wretched clown suit. By the way, you failed England.
At the Trinity Convalescent Home, the elderly Danielle and Tiffany have their eyes closed. They're lying in bed side by side, hooked up to the life support machines.
Welcome to the new garden. I'm Liz Druitt. Those of you who think a deck is just a place to sit and drink beer and swap mosquitoes are in for an eye-opener. Because today we are going to talk with Dr. Sam Batts, head of horticulture at Texas A&M University, about how he combined his gardening with his leisure living and made himself a vegetable deck. Let's go meet Sam. Hi, Sam.
A hand picks up a remote control and turns off the TV. An old lady looks down at Danielle.
Oh, goodness, how you've changed. You don't remember me, do you, Danielle? I'm Mrs. Witt. And I certainly remember you.
Mrs. Witt looks at Tiffany.
Oh, poor thing. Barely holding on by a thread, isn't she? Happy birthday, though I am a couple of days late. Not much to show for 18 years of life, is it? A friend of mine died just last month. She was my roommate when you first came to visit. Of course, we'd known each other for years. Our husbands worked together. She's the one who taught me how to play chess. Oh, she suffered agonies waiting for death. But then one day, her husband gave her a shot of some kind, and it just whisked her straight up to heaven. For her, death was a blessing. But it isn't always so, is it? Take Charity's death, for instance. Did you know Charity was my granddaughter? I didn't think you did. You see, after my stroke, I couldn't speak, but I could see quite well. And I could hear very well. Which, of course, is how I discovered that you and your friends were responsible for my charity's death. I asked Estelle's husband to give me an extra large dose of his potion. Of course, I had to write it out for him, dear Matt. He worked for Denton Chemicals, specializing in biological warfare, aging complexes. I remember how much you enjoy chocolates. And these are to die for. Oh, the poison was extremely concentrated. Your little friend, what was her name? Brooke, that's it. She was the only one with any self-control. She only ate a couple of pieces. Otherwise, she'd be lying here with the two of you. My symptoms completely disappeared, which is often the case with stroke victims. You won't be so lucky.
Mrs. Witt turns and glances at the window.
Isn't it silly? Sending for an ambulance when someone is already half dead? I mean, Christ, what's the hurry?
Danielle tries to speak, but seems incapable. She lifts an arm, reaching for Mrs. Witt, who's backing away towards the door. Finally, Danielle turns her hand and flips Mrs. Witt the bird. Then her eyes close, and her head falls back onto the pillow. A funeral.
We are gathered here to bid a fond farewell to our dear sweet friends, classmates, and daughters.
So here we are, another rainy day, another funeral. Mine.
We hope their souls have found peace.
Oh, and Tiffany's. Must have been a twofer down at the mortuary. Well, on the bright side, I'm rid of that annoyance. Get over it! Who are they? He's still a moron.
From Gavin to Katerina and Drew.
What's their problem? I mean, I'm the one who's dead.
Brooke and Mr. Chauncey.
Oh my, look at Brooke. Couple of tucks and a laser peel later. You know, in the right light, she could easily pass for mid-50s. I guess she won't be dating any more seniors. In high school, that is.
Brooke smiles when Mr. Chauncey hands her a note and reads, "I knew you'd do the right thing." He takes her hand in his.
Okay, I'm sorry, that's just wrong.
Deepest sympathies go out to Tiffany's boyfriend, Gavin, whose broken heart, we're sure, is drowning in endless grief. Remember, my son.
As the minister talks, Gavin's flirting with another mourner, a pretty dark-haired girl. Suddenly, Jonathan dives on the coffin.
Jonathan!
He knocks Mr. Chauncey into an open grave.
Oh, Danielle will always love you.
Mr. Chauncey! Mr. Chauncey!
Two stone crosses side by side stand against the cold grey sky. Now two similar crosses stand with a white muslin material stretched between them at the corners of a bed. Danielle's sitting in a large, luxuriously decorated room, admiring herself in a dressing table mirror.
Oh,
she's young again.
Oh, my. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Danielle?
T? Can you believe it?
Wait. Where the hell are we?
I don't know. But I've got a room just like yours.
And who cares where we are?
We are young again.
It's so totally beautiful. But these rugs have got to go.
Who do you think cleans it?
I'll tell you, from the looks of this place, we're set for eternity.
Wait. You mean, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
We're in heaven!
You put on some music, and I'll go make us some latte.
Uh-oh. I think we've got a problem. No CDs.
Danielle smiles and goes to the door.
Don't you dare answer that.
Relax. This is heaven. It's got to be Brad Pitt or Ben Affleck. At the very least, Luke Perry.
It's Jonathan.
Hello. These are for you.
What?
And I brought some tunes. Let's party, huh?
What the hell are you doing here?
Well, when I was at the funeral, I realized I couldn't live without you.
This isn't happening. Where are all the cute guys? How long exactly were you planning on staying?
He transforms into the devil.
Forever.
Back as Jonathan again, he begins to boogie, and the doors close on the luxury pad.